If you put in your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we're going to continue our series of lessons. It's been a while, but continue our series of lessons on the attributes of God. And the title of the message is God Who Reveals Himself. And tonight, it's God is personal. God is personal. So we've covered God is a spirit, God is transcendent, God is triune. And tonight, God is personal. And I think the song absolutely fits the message tonight. Can I remind you that God cares for you, that He is personal, that the God who made all things in the universe cares about you. And if He cares for the sparrow, as we taught Sunday night, then surely He cares for you. And just a reminder, Psalm 103, look with me in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, I'm glad of that, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, I'm glad of that. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we deserve. And because of our sins, because of our iniquities, we deserve hell. We deserve punishment. And yet God is merciful towards us. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knows us. He remembereth that we are but dust. He understands that our time is short. By the way, our time is short. This life will soon be over. I'm looking forward to the day we get to see Jesus. Amen. But while we're here, remind you that God cares for you and that God does not give us what we deserve and that God is plenteous in mercy and so gracious and kind to us who are His creatures, His creation. He is our Creator and yet He is personal. He's thinking of you tonight. In fact, Jesus said in John 17, He's praying for you. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Savior, is praying for us tonight. What a comfort tonight. I want to be a comfort to you tonight. The Word of God will comfort you tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Bless, Lord, this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. I do pray that with the truth concerning You would be made very clear tonight and would help us again to understand You more and that we might grow closer to You and trust You as only You can provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been beginning with this quote from A.W. Tozer. The quote is this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I hope by the time we're through with this, by the end of the year, that will mean more to you than it does maybe today. But what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. It is, absolutely. And that's become more real to me the more I've studied, the more I've read. I'm telling you, everything you think about concerning God affects everything else in your life. It does. Everything. If your God is small, then your problems are big. If your God is big, then your problems are small. I mean, it all works in its balanced way. And yet, how we think of God and what we think about God clearly affects every area of our life. We have a tendency, because of our nature, to think wrongly of God. Again, we have a tendency to draw a picture of God in our own mind or what we think God is like, and then we, because of our nature, we worship that God. Well, many times that picture or that ideal or whatever it is we have put together in our minds about God or what we think God is wrong. And in fact, all of us have a touch of that. There's no one in here, including myself, that clearly has a clear picture of God. We're constantly, or we should be as Christians, growing in that. And getting the right view of who God is. And that's what we're studying tonight. Why are we studying? Why are we studying the attributes of God? And by the way, we've studied the attributes of God before. It's been years ago. We've studied them and we've studied God is omnipresent, God is omniscient. We've studied all those. But we haven't approached it this way. And we haven't studied some of these attributes as we've started out. These first four attributes, that God is transcendent, and that God is spirit, and that God is triune, and that God is personal. These are genuine with God. In other words, these are unique to God. I'm so glad tonight that God is above everything else. He's transcendent. He is wholly other. So why are we studying these things? Because we want to learn to trust Him more. I want to trust Him more today than I trusted Him yesterday. And the only way, or one of the greatest ways to do that, is by learning who He is. When Peter said, "Lord, we toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, we'll let down the net." Why? Why did he do that? Because he trusted Him. He had experienced and he had learned of God. He had seen what Christ could do, and therefore he trusted Him. And so that's what we want to do, is what we're trying to accomplish this year in studying these attributes. Now, God is, again, genuineness. His genuineness. He's unique, especially when genuineness has to do with especially those attributes that reveal God as God. All right? That reveals God as God. So His genuineness is, His attributes of genuineness, these four attributes we're studying, are especially reveal God as God, who He is. God is personal. God is personal. We've studied God as a spirit, that He is beyond the physical. He's everywhere. He's beyond the physical. He's not a physical being. He's a spirit. And therefore, He is unlimited. He's not limited by that. And therefore, He knows everything. So that attribute that God's a spirit, many of His other attributes build on top of that. We'll study some more of those as we go along. God is transcendent. That means He's far above. He's a holy other. That means He's wholly above every circumstance. Unlike us. He is wholly other. And then again tonight, God is personal. God is personal. God is personal. God is a God who wants to have that personal relationship with us. He is personal. Let me give you an illustration to start out with tonight. The Old Testament tabernacle. Think about it for a moment. The Old Testament tabernacle was surrounded first off by the outer court, 75 by 150. The outer court had a big gate, big cloth gate. We think of a gate, but it was a big cloth gate as you come in the front. And as you came in the front of this court, this outer court, you would walk in, and the first thing you would see is a brazen altar. And there, the person, the sinner, and really tonight, more the priests, would bring that sacrifice to the brazen altar and offer that sacrifice. He'd offer that sacrifice up for the person, or offering up the sacrifice for the nation of Israel. He would then, after he'd offered that sacrifice, he would go to the brazen laver just right next to it. And he would wash his hands, wash his face. He would even, the Bible says the brass was so polished that he could look in like a mirror and make sure he was clean. Because remember what the Bible says? If he didn't enter the holy place clean, God would kill him. And so he would wash himself, wash his hands, and then he would enter that holy place. And in the holy place, as you looked in, you know, as you walked in the front of it like this, you'd have the table of showbread on this side with the bread on there. And on the left side, you'd have the golden candlesticks. And then right in front of you, in front of that curtain that went into the Holy of Holies, was the altar of incense. And of course, we understand and know that the candlestick pictures for us Christ, the light of the world, that we are to be soul winners and so forth. The bread pictures again the bread of Christ is the bread of life and so forth. And then that altar of incense right there in front of that curtain, that veil that veiled the Holy of Holies, was the altar of incense, which just talked about and pictured for us the continual unceasing prayer, and talks about pictures for us that prayer that should be there offered up continually. Bible says pray without ceasing, right? Alright, so as you progress, as this priest progressed from the brazen altar where he had his sins forgiven per se, picturing that, and then he walked to the deal where he had he rubbed his face and washed himself, and then a little further, if you were thinking spiritually in his spiritual life, you would say he's progressing. So he's progressing from the brazen altar where he made the sacrifice, progressing to where his sins, if you would, are washed, and he washes himself with the Word, and there's so much more here I don't want to get into. And then he's progressing and going into the Holy of Holies. I want to, again, help me now. You've got to get the picture. We're picturing the Christian life and the progression that we make. What is the ultimate great thing the priest gets to do once a year. Go into the Holy of Holies and there commune with God. Right? That's what we as Christians should be doing. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil was rent from top to bottom. Why? Because it now telling us that we have direct access to God. We have personal access to Him. You no longer have to go through a priest or go through a person, but you go directly to the Heavenly Father. He desires, God desires a personal relationship with us. God wants to be wanted. Is that a good way to put it? God wants to be wanted. He created us for His good pleasure. He created us in order that He might fellowship with us. We were created to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose for living. And so as Christians, we understand that God is personal. In other words, He's personality. He's all these things, that mind, will, and emotions. He's all these things. And as a personality, me and my wife got married almost 22 years ago. I know her better today than I did then. Why? Because I spent time with her. I've enjoyed my time with her, for the most part. No, she's not in here. Enjoyed that time. But I know more about her today than I knew about her 22 years ago. I love her more today than I loved her 22 years ago. That relationship has grown in that 22 years. And as a Christian, as a born-again believer, God desires that same thing in His relationship. The problem is, we've only spent two or three times with Him during the week, and we think we've had a personal walk with Him, and we don't. You know, we spend an hour here, or 30 minutes there, 10 minutes here. Listen, God desires to have a personal relationship with you. And what I was trying to get by my wife, that particular illustration is, that just as I have learned my wife and have learned about her, I've learned her personality. My wife has a unique personality, and so do I. Right? No less. But I've learned more about her. So God can... He is a person. He's personal. He is a person. And He also can be learned. Now, not to the nth degree. You'll never get to the end of Him because He is eternal. He's transcendent. He's far above anything we could think. He's amazing above everything. But you can progress in your Christian walk with Him and learn more and more about Him as time goes on. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And that's what God desires from us. And I'm telling you, the more we get to know Him, that's a good way to put it. That's what He desires. Get to know Him. The more we understand who He is, and though we can never fully comprehend Him, but the more we understand who He is, the more it will matter in our lives. The more it will make a difference in our life. The more it will help us when we're going through those tough times. The more it will help us even when we're going through the good times, understanding that God gave us the good times. God is personal. He's personal. That means He... And I want to go ahead and make this point too. When we say God is personal, we understand that God is not... He's more than a force. Remember the old Star Wars thing? May the force be with you. God is more than a force. He is a person. He is a person. He desires that fellowship with us. He desires for us to get to know Him. And we are, and remind you, because God is personal, that we are not alone. That He is ever present with us. And that He is concerned about our well-being. He is concerned about our well-being. You know what? God has the greatest possible good in mind for all of us. And just like we have that same set of love and concern for our children, so does God have that same set of love and concern for us. And God wants the best possible good that He can have for us in our own lives. He said, well, don't seem like it. Well, God does. And God's got a plan. No matter what you may be facing, what you may have gone through, the good and the bad, God has a plan. God is personal. He is self-conscious. He has personality, meaning He has intellect, emotions, and a will. A person is one who has intellect, emotions, and a will. A dog is an animal because he can repeat things that you teach him, but he ain't going to think it on his own. He's an animal. I know some of you, that makes you real mad. And we can all say that dogs have a personality, but whatever. They do to a certain degree. But they can't fit those three things. Intellect, will, and emotions. They can't, you know, vary their decisions based upon their own reasoning. They don't have their own reasoning. They vary their decision based upon whether you gave them a treat or not, and whether they want to repeat that action to get another treat. Hello? They're animals. Animals. God says the sparrow is far above man. A bird, a little bitty sparrow, a little black bird. I've shot many of them. And haven't missed a wink of sleep. Not one wink. Man, bird. Man, owl. Man, fish. Man, salamander. Man, stupid turtles. I used the S word from the pulpit. I don't apologize. I know kids are in here. God is personal. He's loving, kind, and gracious to us. He is concerned about our well-being. He's concerned about our well-being. I know I've repeated that myself, but I'm telling you, God is concerned about you. He is person. He's intellect, emotion, and will. He is a person. He's emotions in that. Let me give you a few references. If you want to look these up later, you can. In other words, He is a person in that He repents and He grieves. Galatians 6:6, it says, "And He repented the Lord that He had made man, and it grieved Him at His heart." It repented the Lord that He had made man, and it grieved Him at His heart. So God repented. By the way, it's not the only time in Scripture where it says God repented. God grieved. God grieved. He is person in that He has emotions. We find in 1 Kings 11 verse 9 it says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord." God got angry with Solomon because he allowed his wives and his concubines, he allowed them to turn his heart away from God. God was angry with him. And you can find that many, multiple times when God was angry with the nation of Israel, or angry, and certainly we see the personality of God. We think about Him repenting and being aggrieved and then being angry. Then number 3 or 4, God is jealous. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 15 says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God." And if you turn to, you don't have to, but Exodus chapter 20 where the Ten Commandments are at, you know the first six verses, He fully covers this. He says, "Do not go after other gods, because I am a jealous God, and I will wipe you out." I mean, I'm summarizing now. That's what He said. "I am a jealous God. Don't go after other gods. Have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God." And so we see that personality of God, if you would, or that He is person. Next, we see that God is a God who loves. And this is a self-evident one. We all have seen this in Scripture because it's all over the place. In fact, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And we're going to study that later on because that is one of His attributes. It is not about who He is, it's who He is. You can't separate God from His love. And so we'll come across that. But Proverbs chapter 8 verse 19 says, "I love them that love me." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God loved us so much, and God is so personal and so concerned for us, for His creation, remind you. We are His creation. He is the Creator, but He loves us and is concerned about us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. He sent His only begotten Son to give His life for us. That's how much God is personal. God is a God who loves. Not God is love, we understand that, but God is a God who loves. He's personal. He's personal. Both of those statements are correct. God hates. So we tell our children, don't use that word. And I think that's good. I tell my kids, don't use, you know, they say, "I hate you," or "I hate this," or "I hate that." We always say, don't use that word. I don't think it's a good word for kids to use. It's like the word stupid. We tell our kids not to use that word, and pastors shouldn't use it from the pulpit. But you know, just being careful, because hate is a very, very abrasive word. It's kind of, to me, over the top. You can say I dislike something rather than using the word hate, right? Some of your parents are looking at me and smiling, but that's kind of our thing at our house, I guess. But Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things that the Lord, what? Hate. You know, pride, and it goes on to give you a list of the six. That He hates them. Didn't say dislike. Didn't say I'm kind of not good with this stuff. He says, I hate these things. So God is a God who is personal. He is a God of personality, a God of emotions. I'm glad today that that He created me in His image, and that I am created with emotions. That I have the ability to love. That I have the ability to hate. I have the ability to be angry and grieve and repent. All these things that make God personal, He has given to us as well. And that's why the Bible says we're made in His image. It's not talking about the physical image of God per se. It's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. God did not create us as robots. I love that. But God gave us emotions. And then secondly, God is a God of personal, because He has intellect. And man, there's so many places we could run to on this one. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, He says, I know. He talking about the children of Israel when He was looking and saw them. He said, I saw them. I know that they're in bondage. I know they're in oppression. He says, I know them. He exercised His will. He exercised His intellect and made a decision in order to free the children of Israel out of Egypt. In other words, God is a God who can reason. He's a God who makes decisions. He's a God who says, I will. In fact, you could find the term I will many, many times in the Bible. I will. And so God makes those things, our intellect, making those decisions. I know. I kind of got ahead of myself. And then the will. Number three is the will. And God is a God who reasons and then makes the decisions and then follows through. So He knows and then He makes a decision. He reasons and then He makes a decision. Right? Of His own free will. By the way, we were created the same way. We reason, we think, we make a decision, and then we do. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said to what? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. I will do this. God is a God of volition, a God of will, a God who has a will. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, the Bible says, right? He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father, which means He had a will. Let me clarify. Jesus had a will. He laid it aside for God's will. So both God the Father and God the Son have a will. Everybody with me? Not like a will you sign when you're dead. I'm talking about a will. Ability to do. I will do this. I will do that. I'll get off this. I can tell it's boring you, but God, it's important to make the point, though, that God is a God of emotions. That God is a God of personality, emotions, and intellect, and will. That God is, because of that, because He is those three things, because He is those things, He's person. And therefore, you find in the Bible where God is referred to as a He, and not as a that. You find the Jesus Christ not referred to as an it, but as a He. You find in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is not referred to as an it and so forth, but referred to as a He, as a person. And that's important as well, because there's other doctrines that hang on that. You may not think it that important, but other doctrines hinge on God being personal. That God is a person. All right? You say, well, God's a spirit. You say God's a spirit. Doesn't mean He can't be a person. Because He has a mind, He has a will, and He has emotions. Therefore, He is person. He is personal. He has personality. All right. If God is personal, I love this, He is able to think about us and act on those thoughts and feelings. He is a God that we can get to know and can relate to. Let me say that one more time. If God is personal, then He is able to think about us and act on those thoughts and feelings. Aren't you glad of that? He can think about us and then act on those things. He is a God that we can get to know and can relate to. As I said a moment ago, He has personality, therefore we can get to know His person. We can get to know His person, who He is. By creation, we've already studied that. By creation, the creation reveals to us who God is. By the Scriptures, and then by His Son, Jesus Christ. So He reveals Himself to us, and then we can learn of Him through person, through these emotions, intellect, and will. He desires us to want to know Him. He desires that we get to know Him. When David says, my heart panteth after thee, God desires that from us. I wonder why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he desired to know God. Paul said, what? That I might know thee. He said, I count all things but loss, all things but refuse, all things but dung, all things but sewer, all my stuff that I have, that I might know Him, that I might have Christ. Man, that longing to know God. When Moses said, Lord, show me Thy glory, that's what God desires from us. He desires that we know Him. He reveals Himself to those who seek Him. I'm not talking about salvation here. Now, those who seek to Him, of course He will reveal in the area of salvation. But as Christians, He also will, as we seek Him after we're saved. I'm telling you, Christian life was never meant to get saved and stop. Our relationship with the Lord was never meant to get saved and stop in that relationship. It was meant to grow. It was meant to go forward. It was meant to continue after we got saved. So many Christians stop, and I believe this Wednesday night crowd is not that crowd. But again, we got to be reminded that we should never become complacent in our Christian life. We should never become lethargic. We should never get to the place in our life where we say, well, I'm satisfied. Because listen, physically, this is a huge problem with me. Food-wise, I am just rarely ever satisfied. I can eat and eat and eat. I'm built that way. It's the way I was raised. You know, and I'm now learning, and I'm trying real hard to learn to, I'm getting it in control. But I'm telling you, just as food never satisfies me per se, God is one of satisfying. He will satisfy you. But it's one of those continual satisfactions. I can eat a Snicker bar and I want another one. I just built that way. Some of you are not built that way. I am. But with the Lord, He satisfies. But that satisfaction is a daily process. It's something we do every day. I'm glad I eat every day, aren't you? And I need a spiritual meal every day. I can't just live on what I had yesterday. I got to have something today, even if it is a chicken salad or a Southwest chicken salad I had for lunch today. 500 calories. That's a joke. I need another meal. I need to sit down and read my Bible every day. I need to pray to the Lord every day. I need that. I need that to sustain me. I need that bread of life, not just for salvation, but I need that bread of life every day. I need that manna from heaven every day. You can name picture and illustration after illustration of this in the Bible that God did not mean for us to stop when we got saved. He meant for us to go forward and to grow and that He would provide the sustenance and the food, the spiritual food we need to grow. God desires us to seek Him. And He reveals Himself to those who seek Him. So the ones, the Christians, again, I'm not talking about lost people tonight, but this applies to the lost, but those who seek Him as Christians, you say, well, I already found Him. No, those who seek Him to want to know Him more, God will reveal Himself to them. It's just Moses. Moses knew God, didn't he? But he said, God, I want to know You more. Show me Thy glory. And He'll do that. You say, well, you know, you got to pray. Lord, help me. Help me. God, give me the grace and mercy and give me the want to know You more. Even He will give you that want to. By the way, He gave you the want to get saved. He'll give you the want to live the abundant Christian life, to live the greater Christian life, to live out Ephesians in your own life. He reveals Himself to us. By the way, He reveals Himself to the humble, to the simple, and to the childlike Christian. So you can't come to Him and say, Lord, I want to know You more. You know, just like, you got to go to Him humbly. Lord, I want to know You more. Show me Thy glory. I don't think Moses said, God, show me Thy glory. You know, no, I think he went to Him humbly, bowing before Him. Lord, show me. Reveal to me Yourself. And God will do that for you. God is a person who can be studied. And therefore, because it can be studied, the relationship can grow. I'm glad my relationship with my wife has grown, and the relationship with God can grow. God is a person, not some force. That's that New Age movement that's all rampant across America. He's not in the trees, and He's not in the air, and God isn't you. You're not God. God is not the tree. It's not some force. He's a person. He's personal. And you say, well, that's silly, but there's lots of people out there believe it. lots of people. You know, people talk about the circle of life, and there's a lot of stuff out there you've got to be careful about. And anyway, God is person. Because He is person, God sent His Son to die for us. The Creator died for His creation. That's personal. That's personal. That tells you that God's concerned for us. He is the Creator, but He's not a spectator. In other words, He's not just out in space somewhere, you know, just looking down, you know, watching. No, He is concerned about us individually. He cares for us individually. The Bible says He's not very far from any of us. Jesus said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. You know, there are lots of things going on in my life. I'm telling you, God said it. That settles it. God's there for you. Just seek Him. He is personal. He is mind, His will, emotions. Therefore, He has a plan and will carry it out. Years ago, we studied those three major subjects in the Bible. One of the three major subjects in the Bible is consummationism. In that what God started, He will finish. For what God started in the beginning, He will finish. And I'm telling you that applies to every area of our life. What God started, He will finish in your life. That God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. And that will be accomplished. He is personal. Therefore, we should and can have a personal, growing relationship with the personal God, our God. We can have a personal relationship with the Lord. I hope that you do. I hope that you do. I hope that it's not just a Sunday morning, Wednesday thing, but I hope that you have taken some time every day. The Bible said, Jesus said, take up thy cross daily and follow me. I hope that you're taking time to get to know the Lord and to grow as a Christian. Because it will impact your life. It's not just for intellectual exercise. In fact, we began the study by making that statement. We're not studying the attributes of God so we can all have mental exercises. we want to study the attributes of God in order that it might impact us personally. In that how we view God impacts the rest of our life. How we view God impacts the decisions we make in life. Because God is much bigger than we can ever comprehend. And the greater we see Him, the bigger we see Him, the better and the greater better decisions we can make in life. Okay? Let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. The Lord has touched your heart tonight. You come. God is a personal God. He cares for you. He's concerned about you tonight. He's not just a spectator, but He's there. He's not very far from any of us. I'm so glad I serve and have a God who loves me and is concerned about me. Lord, we thank You for revealing to us Your attributes, Lord, not only through Your Scripture, but through Your Word and through Your Son. And I pray as we continue to study that You enable us to understand You more and that, God, we would it would impact our lives in a way that would help us in the decisions we make. I pray, Lord, tonight, there are some here tonight. I know there are some here tonight who are hurting. There's some here tonight who need that care tonight. I pray, God, that You shed Your grace upon them. Encourage them as only You can. And God, we thank You for the good times as well. What a blessing it is. And I pray, God, that You just continue to lead and direct us in Jesus' name.